You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm very excited. I have quite the beautiful performance couple before me. Faux Pas Le Fay and Aurora North.
Hi, hello. Everybody.
Hello. Really excited to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
You know, something I recently found out about both of you that I hadn't quite realized, being immersed in my burlesque-y, sideshow-y, performance arty world, I didn't realize you are both professional dancers.
That's true.
Tell me about your show and your relationship with performance and dance and how you met.
It's
a lot.
It's a lot.
I know.
That's okay.
But it's free form.
Good.
Fly by the seat of your pants. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been a dancer most of my life. Was in ballet companies younger and professional modern companies here in the city. Danced for Sean Curran and his dance company. Did some stuff with Ballet Pearl Chicage. And now, in addition to performing in the burlesque and cabaret world, I have a professional dance company, Kinetic Architecture Dance Theater. We have been in residence and a commissioned artist for Dixon Place, and we'll run the first 3 weekends of December with a world premiere of my full-length version of both of Lewis Carroll's books, inspired by Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. But it's not, you know, it's not for children. Well, it's for adult children. but professional dance is originally how we met. So Aurora, why don't you continue the story?
Well,
your turn.
The story goes is that as a professional dancer or pre-professional dancer, graduating from NYU in their graduate program, looking at dance postings, dance auditions online, I saw that your dance company was auditioning, so I auditioned, and it wasn't even after I graduated, it was like the spring before graduation, and I auditioned, and I had a fabulous time. You hosted a very marvelous audition where you made everyone feel very included.
Thank you. And
special. But I didn't make the cut.
No, I was playing hard to get, I think.
So you posted, so that was what, like March or something, and you posted another round of auditions in June, and I decided I had so much fun at the first round that I wanted to go again, and I attended your second round of auditions in June on my birthday, I will add, and you decided finally I was fit enough to be in your company, and you hired me, so that was a nice birthday present.
Always make a potential life partner audition twice, everybody.
Right.
So that's how we met.
That's how we met.
So we've been together ever since.
Well, there's a little more.
We have business cards and everything.
And Aurora, that leads me to my next question. This is how you met performance art.
Yes.
And then tell me about how you met Aurora.
Well, after being in Faux's dance company for a few months, which was nothing outside the ordinary.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, come on.
Come see my very ordinary dance company, everybody.
Yeah. No, aside from the modern contemporary dance theater, etc. realm, after joining your company after a couple months, you had already made it clear that you were in the burlesque community, and
yeah, I'm out in every way.
I know, and you expressed to me that you had a Halloween gig. And you had in the past.
And this is how long ago?
Three years ago.
Halloweens ago.
Three Halloweens ago.
That's including this coming Halloween, or
yeah.
Past?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay. Including. Mm-hmm. So you said in the past you had worked with someone else as a duet partner, but it wasn't quite what you wanted, so you wanted something more dance specific, but also performance art, and also to have that shock value that you so are known for.
Am I?
No.
Is that why really? Disney Cruises never hires me? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's why they never hire us.
So
you just.
Mm-hmm. And not really knowing what I was getting into, said, "Yeah, I'll do that. Sure, sounds great." So you taught me some choreography, and we did something very simple in terms of like dance. Not
G-rated.
Yes, thank you. G-rated. I never thought that I would be joining the burlesque community. I thought, oh, this is just a dance job. It sounds fun. And so, like I said in the opening remarks today, that, okay, yeah, well, you can just say Faux Pas, Le Fay, and Meg. Sure, I don't have a name. I'm not in this community.
No, you mean when we were introduced the first performance
the very
3 years
times.
Ago.
Your maiden voyage.
Right, and that's how I got into this. And then after that first time, we were on stage together, and we both, without admitting it to each other, kind of had this moment thinking, wait, there is more to it than just this, like, I don't know, we're having this moment, but we don't want to admit it to each other. There's something else going on.
There's a wild pheromonal kinetic energy, I imagine.
Exactly.
If I'm using my virtual imagination, that's where I want to go.
It was.
I
had and
a
then
feeling it was.
There
yeah.
was a second performance for Kayvon
Zan.
Kayvon
Zan's parties.
Uh-huh.
And we talked a lot more about kink and fetish personal
after
interests.
That one, yeah.
Right.
So
we
talked
we
more after
we
that.
Had that. That number got a little, we cut each other in that number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second day, we cut each other
yep.
there.
Wow.
Talked about kink. I mean, once I disclosed to you, you do understand I'm a woman, and you said, well, I knew that or I wouldn't be interested in you.
Right.
And I felt a little... Mm. Now, but see, then our third performance, we never got on stage. Because, no, we were talking to Velocity off air about this. So for our third performance... We were fiddling with making a duet about people who have a fetish for infantilism. And so we're going to be these two.
Oh, this was the time you got banned?
We got banned.
From
the
sex club at a party that
yeah.
was called Filth.
Called Filth. And so we made this really thought cute duet. We both are corporate people on the go.
But we won't name names.
We won't.
No.
And we see each other from across the busy subway platform or room. And the song Cry Baby comes on. And as clothes fly off, we both have diapers on, so realize, oh, we here we are together. And we had, you know, pre-put, like, stage poop in the diapers. Nothing very tame still
what
for us.
What do you use for stage poop if you don't mind revealing your secrets?
Peanut butter.
Well, it depends on what you want it to do. There's actually several recipes depending on what you want.
I'm allergic to nuts. I could never use that recipe.
So it depends on what you want from it. But so we made this number I thought was adorable because...
Do you use the crunchy or the smooth peanut butter?
What illusion do you want the audience to feel that you've eaten
right.
for that?
Right.
See, that
like
would... Do you want diarrhea? Do you want, like, turds? It really is a lot of physics.
It's true.
So I'm thinking, like, this is still pretty tame for what we do now, right? Like, baby shit out of infantilism. It's like Broadway. And... That morning, the producer was like, well, just like that morning, the producer said, oh, you know, tell me more about the act.
And this is for a sex party, by the way.
Sex party called Filth.
Called Filth.
And we
we
described the act, and he said, no, scat, no one wants to see that. And we said, well, no, this is what it is. And so basically, our third time on stage, we were banned from performing at the sex party called Filth. So at that point, I knew we were perfect for each other.
That was
basically.
The omen.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the sign.
It was.
Cheers.
Yeah. If you accidentally make your stage poop too thin, put cocoa powder in it. It'll thicken it right back up.
But not too much.
Oatmeal is a good composite.
Oatmeal can
for
work.
Stage poop concoctions.
It really depends on whether you're going for runny or sticky. If you need recipes, you can go to allburlesquerecipes.com.
You know, one topic we didn't touch on in our group gathering, because we were having too much fun, I think.
How could we not?
There's no such thing as too much fun, but we were having so much fun. We did not get to the topic of appropriation, I think.
Ouch.
The both of you have something to chime in on about that.
Oh, do we?
Doing what you do? Yes.
You know, I think...
As performers,
you know, I feel like at the end of the day, I mean, the only person who can decide if something specific is or possibly is an act of appropriation is someone from the specific group that is possibly being appropriated. That said, when I see discussions that go on social media or in person, maybe backstage, I think the challenge that's happening today is honoring what either collectively we all definitely have come to understand about something is an appropriated situation, what has been told to us from that group is, but then I can only give my specific example. I wouldn't dare speak for another group. But as someone who is a trans woman, a lesbian, I feel, and then whose heritage is Scotch, Irish, Mohican, I sometimes feel like that can happen with an aspect of my population. But I do try to check myself before possibly making a public comment or something to
before
go...
Before wrecking yourself.
Because I think that you want to make sure that it really... Are you doing censorship or is it really something that needs to not be done? And so I do think it's important to kind of do your best when you are one of the group that feels that way, to know if this feels authentic, that's important to voice it. And even if it is truly appropriation, I still am not ever saying that someone cannot express it as an artist, but you also have to know as an artist that there are always possible reactions, consequences, ramifications from an audience or from other people. And so I never want to sort of diminish or squash the risk-taking, but I think when someone does something that gets more than, say, mine, let's say somebody does something on stage and I have a reaction, but then I talk to other people, and now, like, 9 out of 10 other trans people I talk to feel the same way. I don't just use my opinion within my marginalized population.
You don't want to project.
I feel like if enough of the people I trust and know, and even people I don't know, but I see posts about it, for example, if there is a swell of, oh, well, enough of us feel this way, that gives it validity. If it's like I talk to other trans people and I'm the only one that feels that way, well, maybe I'm offended and I have every right to be, but maybe it's not appropriation of the group, it's something else, some other trigger. And so I try to be careful about that.
Don't you feel that performance art is a sacred space where you can create or become anything you feel?
I think that...
And don't you feel that maybe there's a cap being put on the creative spirit on some level through appropriation?
My answer to that would be, I do feel like performance art and performative art is at its most genuine level a space that has no boundaries placed upon it.
I would say that though,
in terms of something, like in our cultural context, we have specifically as a culture sort of agreed that the word appropriation has a specific meaning. Like it really right now, and it could evolve, means something ethnic, something racial, something sexual like LGBT, or something from a marginalized group. And I guess for me, meaning not inspiring someone or a statement, but really being taken or stolen from a majority group of privilege. Mm-hmm. So when I put it in that context specifically, what I would define the offensive act as, if you are from somewhere and you are going into a group that has been oppressed or suppressed, taking something to give yourself advantage when you already have it, that is appropriation. Am I saying you should be not allowed to do it? No. But I am saying you probably are going to run the risk of your statement will fall completely off to the wayside because you are not, an artist, taking into consideration the times you live in. And for an artist, even a performance artist, to be relevant, they must understand the statement is key, but also, are they speaking to a wall? Are they preaching to the choir? Or are they sending out something for people?
Beholder. That is where you get into the category of opinion. It's so nebulous at that point. Like, you know, what is art? It's beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. Like, who decides what art is, you know? And I think that's the danger of this creative ceiling I'm seeing put on us artists through the appropriation and the PC and whatnot, you know? And that, I guess that's what crosses my mind on that level, you know?
Well, I think that...
For example, would you find religion falls in the category of appropriation?
Well, I think what can happen with something like appropriation is you can argue this huge nebulous topic.
But religion, though,
my example is, I think you have to go give a specific example so you know if it's appropriation. Like, religion, that's a lot of religions.
If I was traumatized by a Baptist family, right, it feels cathartic for me to go on stage and be blasphemous.
Okay.
Whereas I get to watch a bunch of cute little bunny bunnies go on stage and be, oh, I'm a cute little witch, you know, and it's or vilify it. And as that being my religion, I don't feel like they're appropriating, because guess what? I get to go out and be as blasphemous as I fucking want to be. And I don't want anyone to clock me for that. So you know what? You do your little witchy, muggle, boo-boo, witchy act, whatever, yo. I ain't going to judge. I'm going to go out and do my blasphemous act and rebuttal. And that should be okay. I think there should be an open forum. I want to know who the bad guys are. I don't want everyone to hide behind correct speech.
Okay, well, to continue that point, it's a good point.
Yeah.
So, for example, let's take a very specific population. Baptists, witches. If we can assume, for the sake of my point, that at least in America in present day, the majority is Baptists and the minority is witches. So for our discussion, there is a majority group that has the power. There's a minority group that factually in history has been persecuted by this majority. Literally, the group of factual real witches, what they wanted basically to eradicate them. All right, so today we have surviving witches and those that practice and descendants and people who come to it, but they still are far outnumbered by Baptists. Okay, so you have these two populations for purposes of my point. So I am not talking about censorship. When someone, say, raised in a household, which I can relate to, in a staunch Christian household or a Baptist household, they grow up, you do a piece of performance art which may offend the majority because you, who survive being the oppressed, are making a statement. Exactly. Now, the majority, someone who's a Baptist, does a silly whatever dressed as a witch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a witch myself, sure, I can be offended. Am I saying they shouldn't be allowed to do it? No, but here's the difference. When I'm offensive as the minority, if I'm the witch or I'm the trans woman or the lesbian, gay, bisexual person or the queer person or the black or Latino person, and I do something that causes attention to the oppressor, it is to piss them off because I have been either oppressed, beaten, enslaved, killed. You know, I have been made to feel a less than human or humiliated. So you can say it's the same thing that it is, but my intention is completely different. For the privileged to do things because they think it's cute and fun or sexy, I mean, I don't call it out either. I think it's stupid. But I don't want...
I also think it does propagate certain myths about...
Well, it does. And so I'm not saying anything should ever be banned, but I do feel like one is appropriation and one is not.
But I'm allowing that because I know I...
But you're not. You know why you're not allowing it? You have no power to make the majority stop it. So you're not allowing anything.
No, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is, in my head...
Okay.
I'm not letting it get to me.
Sure.
Because I am creating an outlet by going out and doing an equally blasphemous piece as a rebuttal. And I think that's what freedom of speech is. You know? And if we start silencing everybody, we'll never know who the real bad guy is because everyone's using good speak. You know?
Well, that's like another topic.
It's all tied. It's all connected. You know?
Yeah, but I think, everyone can frame something. If we're doing our best, everything is interconnected, but if we're doing our best to define appropriation for terms of what, at least, not your definition, mine, anyone, but like my way of understanding how it's a distinction between saying political correct.
You're like an excellent advocate for it. Cause
my
like
thing is,
well
I define
informed.
It as a lesser group taking a, like, all right, a lesser group taking a stand is for their own maybe survival.
Mm-hmm.
The majority privilege grabbing something from the persecuted is not. So for me, right or wrong,
yes.
I define appropriation as the privileged majority taking from the ones they have controlled for their own delight and pleasure. The opposite, which is not appropriation, is I am saying something about what you're doing to me through talking about your religion or your power structure, and I want you to be offended or stirred or think or change because I have to, or else you will not listen to me. So I'm not arguing people shouldn't be allowed to do whatever they want on stage, but I do not think one is appropriation and the other is. So that's my opinion on
it. No, I completely agree on that. Like, for example, if I see a major motion picture portraying a famous person and then not hiring an actor that should truly fit the part, you know what I'm saying? To me, that's true appropriation. But in the realm of burlesque and vaudeville and sideshow and, you know, what's considered lowbrow entertainment, and I take that as a compliment, that's why I say that proudly. Because that's where you're supposedly most free. That's where the radical ideas get to be tossed around. That's supposedly, like, in the old tradition of cabaret, like, where you could throw out, you know, challenging ideas and make people question themselves. I just feel like adding appropriation to that genre is inappropriate.
So you're making a distinction between movies and burlesque?
No. Over culture and under culture. Whereas you're not getting paid for the gig, so to speak. You're not making you're probably breaking even between transportation, let's be honest, and what, and you're going there because you're spilling your soul out on the stage. And I just feel like that shouldn't be called into question. That's where I come into play on that. That's all I'm saying. I'm speaking about an underground performer. I'm coming from that place. I'm saying there's, yes, of course, in the mad overculture that rules the TV and the whatnot, and the news and the magazines and the everything, all of it. It's not just movies. That was just an example. But I'm saying, as an underground performer, I don't think people come to New York and disappoint their families and take all these risks to be policed. Can we fight the real enemy? Why are we policing each other? You know, like, I mean, that's my mea culpa on that front. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think that's what people have the space to do. I mean, I think
everybody should keep an open mind.
I agree. I think that each artist, though, I mean, I'm fairly certain that if you've seen my work, it's not safe.
That's
but
why
I think that
the shit out of you.
I can say thank
like
you.
Crazy.
I can say
you're a trailblazer. You are.
Thank you. I can say that while I'm not going to say not do an act because it might offend someone. For me, I think this is where we have to go. There can be discussions as a community, as a world, and it's very important. For me personally, I choose to err on the side of if I have learned from others, and I don't mean talking, but just by reading, feeling the temperature in the room, if I have learned that something can possibly feel like a legitimate form of appropriation to a group that I am not part of, I err on the side of not putting it in my act. I am not saying someone else should or cannot. I am not arguing for rules or censorship. I am saying that my personal choice as an artist is, if I, from trying to be sensitive to what's going on around me, from reading, from educating myself about groups that I am not part of, I then go, well, I know if somebody did the similar thing. So I'm just saying, I am not
from.
In any way saying I want to walk into a show. I have seen acts where I want to
overall
right.
Like,
so
overall,
I'm saying
like
that
it's affecting the
you know
entire performance scene culture right now.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong
that's
with
all.
That, but I think that's my stance on it. Is I have seen acts where I literally want to rip my skin off and scream.
Oh, you don't even know. I used to go to open mic nights like crazy in the 90s, and I would see motherfuckers get on stage and say the most vile, inhumane, fucked up shit. And it's like, okay, I didn't like it, but you know what? I live somewhere, I'm in a world where if they can say that, then guess what? I can say this. And I have that freedom.
Yeah, I think that's what's nice about why shows are interesting, because people solve problems differently. So because it's not water I want to tread, if I feel it could be seen as appropriation, I wouldn't want it done to me, so I'm not going to do it. I think one of the things we challenge ourselves to do, Aurora, is
severely, guys, if you've never seen Foe and Aurora, I have to step in. I have to interject and say that they challenge my audience every time. And I always hear something after the show. Always like, it's either like the best act of the night or, oh my God, what the fuck was that? And it's the best thing ever. Like, they challenge everyone in the room and delight the adult.
Thank you.
I'll stress the word adult audiences. But there's more to their work. They're intensely physical, and they do things that you didn't think you could do with your body.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean,
that.
I think to sort of like move that in, like I think what we do is we stick to things. I mean, this is something I learned as a choreographer before, like when I was just in ballet and modern dance. And Lester Horton, who was Alvin Ailey's teacher, taught him that to make a dance, you use who you are, your heritage, and where you come from. Mm. So that stuck with me. So I really have never even been inspired to use material from someone else's culture or background because, and again, it is not to say...
But you knew your cultural background.
Well, I'm just saying that it's not to say I'm telling another artist what to do or not do. I, for me personally, don't feel it will be as authentic a statement. Yeah. So, you know, it's for me and Aurora as artists, we want it to come from something personal for us, and we also recognize the respect for other groups of people and would not want to, we want our messages to go out. And so if we know that half our audience might go, you appropriated something from me and you shouldn't, it does us a disservice. So out of respect for the other group and respect for ourselves as artists, we just don't see the reason. Yes, there's the thing that it is offensive and possibly hurtful, but it also serves.
Which you've said a few times, and I love that about
you.
So,
you know, that's that, like, so for us, it's more, if we're going to put something out there that you can't stand to watch, it's going to be us. We're not going to put something about another group out there, and that's why you're offended.
And we can find you at the box.
You can.
As well as a slipper room, regularly, both of those places.
I mean, I think we feel like it's our right to put whatever we want from our own lives out there, but we're not going to do that for someone else's life. I think that's what it is for us. If we want to do anything we want from our own place and what population we are, that's fine. But I can't justify doing that on behalf of another population.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
I think that is... said and done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really look forward to having you guys back.
That'd be great.
I would love that.
Yeah.
This is wonderfully intense. It's awesome. Kisses.
Thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you enjoy what you hear and you'd like to continue to support independent community media, we hope you'll consider supporting us with a small monthly pledge. Please, go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge and help keep commercial-free independent radio alive. To Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn, and I'm very excited to say I'm sitting next to the Chris Harder.
Oh, well, I'm so excited because I'm sitting next to the Velocity Child. Hello.
All right, I'll take that. Tell me about your one-man show, please.
So, I'm working on a one-man show called Adult Themes, which is about my past couple of years working in the porno industry, as my mother calls it.
Uh-huh. And you're open with your parents. But
yeah, I told them...
That's pretty cool.
Well, you know, I told them just because I knew they would find out more than likely from a friend or something, and I just wanted them to know.
Find out from you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so they could at least be ready for it. They weren't happy for it, about it by any means, but, you know, at least they heard it from me first,
yes.
I guess. Oh, bad son. So I'm writing a one-man show about it, and I actually have my parents cast in it as, ooh, what's this?
Rum and Coke.
Oh, yes.
Mexican Coke. And...
Yes. Oh, I haven't tasted real Coke in years.
Yeah. It's much more refreshing.
It is. My brain cells didn't die in that one sip. So it's a, you know, it's my way of trying to incorporate my burlesque into the show. So there's not like, I won't say typical, but what we conceive of as burlesque numbers. There's going to be lots of costume changes. And also what I hope a lot of comedic moments and a way for people to kind of look at.
Is there storytelling involved?
Yeah, lots of story. This is like undergrad theater.
My mind's taking
Yeah, so I'm working on trying to do a mix of me talking to the audience, me doing other characters, video screen work, like working off of
multimedia.
Yeah, so it's you know, I'm really excited. It's going to happen in May and June at the Laurie Beachman Theater.
Uh-huh.
I'll send you a flyer and an invite. I'd love for you to be my guest.
Yes.
So yeah, so that's the idea there. And it's just something I've wanted to do for a while. And, you know, I think really what I hope to accomplish is just a one person's perspective that isn't kind of what we're used to hearing, which is I got into the adult industry and it ruined my life, which is certainly can be a very legit point of view. But, you know,
I'll say this. For me, the adult industry was challenging. But it actually gave me an avenue to preserve my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it also, again, I think between the both of us, you know, we probably met many people in the sex industry and sex workers, some who are great people and some who aren't. You know, it's like any industry. There's always going to be...
I found, you know, I came across some peeps that didn't have a goal or didn't have a sense of purpose and felt lost. And I met people that had no creative outlet.
Sure.
And those are the ones that, you know, that you hear about.
Yeah. Usually. And again, I think too, it's, you know, like any, well, especially with the adult industry, you know, people get into it for a very specific reason, usually around, you know, at least superficially around money, which no shame in
well,
that.
Well, sometimes it's not superficial. Sometimes it's just straight up survivor
stuff. Oh, exactly. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. You know, it's,
it's survival. It would never call survivalism superficial.
No, I meant superficial on the surface. Like, you know, we're, you know.
Yes,
like,
of
I'm you know, I'm not.
Face value.
Yeah, yes. And face value, you know, I won't do a scene for less than X amount of money. But if it's a director I really like, or if it's, you know, again, like, I like to think that even
or
though it's porn, I still, you know, it's still quality, you know.
Do you get to pick your.
No.
No, because I hear sometimes you can do that.
So, well, you know, you can
I did fetish porn.
Sure,
it's very different. It's not anywhere near.
Yeah,
I'm not talking fetish porn by today's standards, guys. I'm talking the 90s fetish porn that, you know, had to be really careful so the cops would bust down the door. So everything was, you know, a lot tamer.
Sure.
Is the only way I can describe it. Not as tame as Betty Page. Well, no, it's kind of like on that level, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes you can always say no to a scene. You know, you can always say no,
so
thank you.
You can always say no, and you're not, like, going to lose a good thing or an agent or.
No, and you know, really, it really just depends. Like, I think there's so many issues right now. And you know, again, like, you, for lack of a better term, worked in the straight industry, you know, the gay industry. I think there's similarities, but there's differences.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of differences, you know.
Although it's gay for pay a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Guys love their lesbian scenes.
Oh, of course, yeah. So, I don't know where I was going with that, but, yeah, so, anyway, where were we going with that?
Well, we were,
this is what one hit of weed does to me. Like, one cocktail, and I'd just be on your floor with my clothes off.
We were on your one-man show.
On my one-man show. Oh, okay. So, again, oh, yes, I know.
And we got deep for a second.
We got deep.
Yeah, so back to your one-man show.
Yeah, so anyway, so that's the idea behind the one-man show. Something that does go deep, but also does so in a way... Because again, ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, my story is that the porn industry did not ruin my life. It certainly didn't make it, you know, 100 times better. It definitely presents its own, you know, presented its own problems to me at time, but it's something that I overall... still feel very good about, and, you know,
was
still
it a
film
journey
and...
that you sought out?
Yeah, absolutely. And again,
it appeared, you know, that way to me at the time, that this was somebody who made a choice.
Yes. Well, and you know,
had choices, made this choice. And because they wanted to learn from this journey.
Right.
And that's what I've seen. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you talk about, like, the survival mindset of sex work. You know, again, there's no way that I can ever
really... That was
really...
more my scenario.
Oh, no, but it's very...
But it's not everyone's scenario.
And it's very true. And, you know, again,
people
I never...
People often do it by choice.
Yeah, and I never...
Nina Hartley, great example.
Yeah, I never feel like I lost something or had something taken from me because, right. You know, again, without going down that long road of privilege, I feel like I had plenty of privileges in my life to where... If I had not wanted to do...
You had a support system.
Well, yes, I do. And, you know, and again, at the end of the day, I'm an able-bodied young person. So there's lots of different type of work available.
And that the idea of being an able-bodied person was mm-hmm. reinforced by a structure and a foundation of love growing up, I'm sure.
Yeah, very much. You know, at the end of the day, my parents and I don't always get along, but they overall, I know, tried their best and, you know... And
I think
are good
they
people.
They never belittled you or...
Well, we won't go too hard on the parent track. But what was the other topic we were going to move into?
A baby. Oh, I didn't mean to. I was... Because you strike me as one of the most well-adjusted people I've ever met.
Oh.
And that's how you come across to me.
Did I tell you I have my degree in acting?
So... So I didn't realize that was...
No, it's not a hard topic.
A hot topic. A spicy one.
It's not a hot or a hard topic. It's a harder topic. And it's, you know, again...
Harder topic.
There we go. It's a harder topic.
Branding and feeling branded.
Oh, well, so again, you know, this is...
Yeah.
Also something I'm trying to write about and deal with in this one-man show is, you know, as performers, I think... Whether we like it or not, you are creating some kind of identity for yourself. And I know a lot of people sometimes resist that. But, you know, again, that doesn't mean that you have to conform to a mold. But I think there's always this thing where, you know, as performers, we want to work, right? Like, I still want my numbers to get booked. What's interesting now, and I'm sure this has changed very much from when you first started getting into and creating your own work, is that... There are so many...
Oh, Angel Cabaret saved me. It allowed me to transform survivor sex and whatever I was dealing with at the time into art.
Yeah, but you know, so there's all these types of shows. So you can choose to make work that you know fits this aesthetic, even if it's not the aesthetic that you want to do for yourself. You know, if you want to work, there's hypothetically... blueprints that are laid out. What I have found interesting and challenging, you know, working in the adult industry and working in this more, for lack of a better word, creative community, is that, you know, it's always this really fine line between, like, what parts do I promote myself? Like, if I really want to, and this is, you know, again, I get really into my head and very analytical, but you know, if you look at something like an Instagram post, like I could totally post one of my porn photos with like a star or some stupid eggplant or emoji over it, you know, or I could do like a risque burlesque shot, and both of those are going to send very strong messages.
Right.
What message am I today? You know, and at times I've, you know, again, like one of the things that was great about the adult industry is that I made more money and I was able to put money back into my performance work. But it became this, you know, double-edged sword where I was getting lots of work as a porn performer, but then partly because of that, you know, like I was not working as much as burlesque.
Got some
and
flack.
Oh, yeah. Though, of course, there's all that.
No, there is. And I'll be honest. When I first started Badass 12 years ago, especially then, not so much now. I don't see it so much now because there's a lot of working girls doing burlesque, but at the time, it wasn't so, and there were some people in the community, that burlesque community, that felt that if you had been an actual stripper and you weren't a real you were doing it for the money, not for the... I'm like, does mm-hmm. it matter?
Right, well, and again,
can
it's...
Can you love what you do and make money at it? Like, can you... Do I have to be shamed because I paid my rent doing lap dances on the right. side while I was at the Blue Angel Cabaret doing performance art?
Right.
Like, does it matter?
Absolutely not.
No.
And I've,
but there's
always...
a stigma.
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely a sex work stigma for women, too.
Mm, there is. Oh, yeah. Undoubtedly, I think for women. And I think, yeah. you know, again, as performers, there's always any, you know, I've never really directly experienced it, which, you know, definitely could happen when I don't know. But there's always a part of me now that I think, and again, let me say, it's not something that I feel sorry for myself about, but there's always a part of me that feels like, I need to really make sure that people know that I make my costumes or write my work or into
the porn industry after going so headfirst into burlesque.
Uh-huh.
And the transition was really like, I think faster than some people could handle.
Yeah. And my body changed a lot during that time and mm-hmm. you know,
you beefed up.
Yeah. So it's, you know, again, I think it's just interesting, you know, again, as someone who is trying to create work and get it out there, it's yeah. always this thing of, so, you know, like, when is porn useful? I feel like we learned that porn is useful when you're done with it. Like, people can accept a retired porn star, but someone who is actually still working, especially, I mean, you know, again, like, working as a sex worker is a whole other kind of... identity to be very public about. So it's always this thing, and you know what I should say too, like, that's why I find being around burlesque women especially very inspiring and hopeful, and I really mean that, because it's just a reminder to me that, you know, I can do these things and be these identities that I want, because I believe it in these other people and I see it in them and I see the respect that they have. It's just, you know, it's always sometimes harder to convince yourself of those things.
Well, people, like, the whole stigma of sex work, you know, I'll never forget something a madam once said to me, a dungeon madam.
Mm-hmm.
She said that sex work is like toilet paper. Everybody needs it and can't live without it, but when they're done with it, that's it. It's just
sure.
toilet paper, and it's in the toilet, and they're flushing it, and they're
sure.
just done with it.
Yeah.
And there's that's that feeling that, you know, that harsh resentment, I don't know, for lack of a better word, that sometimes society looks upon it like a necessary evil. Well, I don't think it should be considered evil at all.
No, absolutely,
you know,
not.
In ancient Greece, they had temples to prostitutes. Mm.
Well, and, you know, too, like you were saying, I've never tried to distinguish between artistic burlesque and, you know, just stripping. I'm using air quotes here, listeners. Just
yes,
stripping
he's
or,
quote hands.
Or, you know, just sex or whatever. Because, again, it's, you know, I feel like I'm... And too many people are like, well, is it art or is it porn or is it artistic porn or is it erotic? I just think, like, who fucking cares? It's
right.
Actually, what it really is
if
a product.
If it moves
yeah.
you...
You know, exactly.
Then don't question it.
Yeah. And, you know, again, let's not lie to ourselves. If we're creating work, art... air quotations, that we want people to see.
Especially burlesque, to me, it's erotic art.
Yeah, yeah, and again, it's, you know, even like Gypsy Rose Lee said that she didn't think burlesque was an art, you know? And again, like, I do, and it's, you know, again, burlesque has obviously evolved.
To me, it's erotic performance
yeah.
art at this point.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, again, and of course burlesque has evolved since that time to become many different things over those years. But I also think that part of art is a product. We create it partly for the desire for it to be consumed, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't take away its merit, but, you know, again, don't get all highfalutin on yourself.
Everybody wants
think.
To be right.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for
thank you, Miss...
being here.
My pleasure. Your pleasure.
Chris Harder.
Velocity Child.
I hope you come back.
Well, girl, you just tell me when.
Okay.
I'll bring the chicken next time.
Yeah.
Velocity provides some really excellent rotisserie chicken, guys.
I did some rotisserie chicken. Yeah. Well, I didn't do it, but I did provide it, yes.
Next time I'm going to talk about my crock pot recipes. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
going to
get
real
steamy.
Just give me, like, the name of your favorite crock pot recipe.
Let's just call it the spicy harder chicken. Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to do potluck next time.
Oh, yes.
And you're going to have to, like, bring some of your spicy butter chicken.
I'm going
to
do it.
And we're going to talk about it while we eat it.
Yeah.
On the show. Like, it'll be like,
it'll be like that SNL sketch.
Sound
like,
style. Yeah.
Yeah.
Audio
love
food
it.
Porn.
Love it.
Succulent.
Thanks, doll.
Cheers.
Cheers. Goodbye, everyone.
Man.
Bam.
Bam. Mwah.
Mwah. Kisses.
Kisses, bitches.
Bastard cleans the dirty fly and extension.
My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through opinions, humor, candor, and songs.